Good morning, everyone. It is an early Tuesday morning and we are recording. And I don't know about you, I always struggle with this daylight savings time switch. So if you're struggling, know that you're not alone. Joining us today is Pastor Kurt.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. You seem significantly more alert than I do.
Apparently, you told us told a couple of us this morning you were living dangerously.
I lived dangerously. I woke up ready to seize the day.
Yes,
but I made the fatal mistake.
Yes, and that was
closing my eyes.
Oh,
just gonna close my eyes.
Wow.
I drifted right back into sleep.
That's all it takes.
Yeah. And woke up at my old time.
The old time.
Which is now late.
Yes.
So.
I know. That is challenging. You know, it's like, okay. And I get a little confused at the daylight saving time. Neither one feels good. When we begin and when we end, neither one feels good. And I just feel like I'm living a constant deception because I don't know what the real time is. And it's just a reminder to me that, like, you know, unless we're following the sun, we don't really know. We've just come up with these things.
Like, exactly.
It's approximately whatever time it is right now. So I know, dude. That's crazy.
And I so love what Pastor Jack said on Sunday where he's like, you know, I feel like they keep, you know, letting us down.
It's yeah.
Like, are they going to get rid of it?
No. It's like keep talking about it. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. I still am not totally sure what the point is. And I'll tell you why. Because just before we put the clocks ahead, the chickens were crowing earlier. The sun was coming up earlier. And I liked it. I don't want to wake up and have it be dark.
Dark.
I like waking up.
Exactly.
And it's like the daylight's waking up with me.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the days are going to be longer anyway. So I'm quite confused as to why we have to do this.
Yes.
Nevertheless, yeah. I'm sorry that you were living quite adventurously before you got here this morning. And
I was.
You made it. You pulled in 30 seconds after me. So
yeah,
you're fine.
I was dreaming that I was chaperoning and leading a youth retreat.
I bet you were dreaming about that.
Which is what I actually did this past weekend.
What, you were dreaming on top of doing it?
Yes.
Oh, you were dreaming. Okay. How'd that go? Tell us a little bit about the weekend.
Oh, it was awesome. So we took the United kids to Berea.
You had like 50 kids, bro.
It was a big group.
Yeah.
About 50 of us.
Yeah.
We had a very, very strong group of leaders. Kids all had a great time. There were no physical injuries.
Praise God.
To people
on winter camp. That's great.
Yes. Yeah. They encountered the Lord. I was in the boys' cabin and had some really good conversations with them. And I heard that was the same as what was going on in the girls' cabin. So
yeah.
Very fun group of kids. We are very, very blessed.
We really are. You know, Jennifer and I have had the opportunity to dive in with over the past, I don't know, 8 weeks or so, and just support the work at youth ministry at United. And it's been a lot of fun. And that's what we come away saying every single week. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the days that my wife and I prayed for when we were youth pastors. We were like, wow, God, we would love to see a move like this, seeing young people who are hungry and thirsty for the Lord. It really, and I have to say this, it's really cool because over the years, you see different trends and you're like, hey, if you want to have a successful youth ministry, you need to have this, you need to have that, whether it's lights, whether it's entertainment, whether it's the greatest worship ever or the right music while people are coming in. And I will tell you, and you know too, because you've been a youth pastor too, those are all the things you wrestle through and think, okay, what do I need to do to make sure that the kids come and stay? And you're fighting this curb appeal.
Yeah.
And what I love about our youth ministry is that whether all the right music is on when the kids arrive or all the right games are played, there is something really remarkable happening with United Youth.
Yeah.
These kids love the Lord. And I don't even want to call them kids. These young men and women, they love the Lord. They're on fire. And they have a camaraderie and a unity. I mean, they are their name. They are United.
Yep.
And wherever there are things between them, either they talk about it amongst themselves or they get leaders and it gets resolved. I'm very, very impressed with this group.
Right. And you know, there were some, you know, obviously some little things come up. That have to be dealt with, you know, whenever you're around kids. But that's our role as leaders.
Yeah.
And I was talking to some of the other leaders about it, and I was like, you know, it's in a sense, it's almost a gift from the Lord that certain things arise when we are with them, because it allows us to speak into those places.
Yes.
And you almost would rather have a weekend, at least I would, where some little things happen that have to be addressed than a weekend where everyone was on their best behavior because they were hiding parts of themselves
that
the Lord would want to address.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, that's an excellent philosophy. That's my brother's approach in his house. He said, listen, I'd rather have you, tells his children, mm-hmm. I'd rather have you conduct yourself with truth
yes.
in my house yeah. and actually how you are and where you are so we can deal with that rather than to mask things. Yeah. I think that's awesome.
So good.
It's great.
So good.
So you guys weren't back totally yet when we were into this message.
Oh, no.
You guys were
no,
still
we
traveling.
Were, yeah, we were still in our final session
okay.
at camp.
Okay.
And then we traveled back after lunchtime and we're able to, because of the online service.
It's great.
I was able to catch it yesterday while I was going about my workday.
That's awesome.
Listen to the worship. And I have to say the worship sounds amazing.
Mm.
The new live stream sound, the choir.
Yes.
It's a whole new level.
I am absolutely loving having the choir there. Even the week before when we were up there, I was like, this is amazing. It's not about a sound, but it's really beautiful have it create
yeah.
that environment where yeah. you hear people worshiping.
It's a real gift to be able to produce it like that. So so Pastor Zach's preaching out of Psalms 18.
Yes. Sure is. Now, when we were going through this, of course, as he started, I think it was Pastor John and his row that started singing. I don't know if you could hear it on the live stream.
The Lord yep. liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
Now, nobody, I think they went to the other part, but if you go back a couple of verses, it's, I will call upon the Lord. And then, you remember that? There you go. They're singing it next door.
I will call upon the Lord.
It's so good. It was so awesome to hear that kind of rise up. And I was like, oh, here we go. I mean, speaking of choir, it's really awesome to hear. And I was talking with my mom, who's been helping out with the choir. And she was saying she had this vision where the entire church was a choir. It was like we were joining it with heaven.
Yes.
So that's what it kind of reminded me of on Sunday morning mm-hmm. with us all singing that old school song. It was great. So Psalm 18, we're here. We're studying these passages. And really, really cool to dive in. And you were kind of joking before we got on the mic. You're like, hey, I wonder, why does Pastor Zach come up with this stuff? Like, where does it come from?
Well, because he jumps around so often.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're in the New Testament this week. Then we're in, you know, that passage. And he talked to me before about it. He really follows where the Lord's leading him.
Absolutely.
And it really fits his personality.
Yep.
I think, you know, and God speaks to us through our personality.
Yeah.
So I it'd be too confining, I think, for him to be locked into like one passage, though he has done that before.
He has.
So.
Yeah, we've had, I mean, even in days when he swore he would never do a series, he started a series on Revelation and different things.
Exactly.
But he did throw this disclaimer out there, which I actually appreciated. And when he said it, I was like, you know, you're right, Pastor Zach. People aren't regularly preaching and teaching from
the
Psalms.
No, no. And that was an interesting thing. I think we should just sit on that for a little bit. He brought out how the Psalms, like we can see more of these attributes of God that I think some of us might find a little more uncomfortable because it's more of it's the relationship piece.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, David wrote a lot of these Psalms, and they come out of difficult places in his life or joyful places in his life.
Yeah.
And it's full of emotion and dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so even when in Psalms, like when he'll start talking about like how he feels down and depressed or he's angry and he wants the Lord to go and smite his enemies. And then so he paints this picture of what he's feeling. And then you'll often see like a turn where he starts to turn to the Lord out of his emotional mess or wherever he is. And then that centers him.
Yeah. Yeah, I love what you're saying here, and it really goes back to what Pastor Zach was communicating, that we're uncomfortable with these quote emotional relational pieces, but God is a relational God.
Yes,
and I would say this: if the Chosen nailed one thing in all of a century, what it nailed is actually the humanity of Jesus.
Right.
You see the relational aspect of our God, and that is why in part, why the Lord became flesh.
Mm-hmm.
We were not getting it. We kept looking at him as every other God who, you know, is like, oh, so holy. Like, who would have ever thought of a God who would become a man to be walking among us and to be with us. Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't compute. Like, we need gods, quote unquote, to be high and up there and far above and unreachable. And God says, I've always been relational.
Right.
Before sin ever came, I was walking with you, talking with you. And now through Christ and the Holy Spirit who resides in us, we have this relationship back.
Right.
So it's actually beautiful to see, like, okay, God is a relational God.
And you know, we were made in God's image.
Yes.
But the image of God in us is corrupted because of sin.
That's right.
So we don't understand how a God could be vengeful.
Mm-hmm.
How God could be vengeful, but in a righteous way.
A righteous way. Or jealous.
A sovereign way.
Yeah.
Like, we don't understand. We don't understand how God could be jealous in a righteous, sovereign way.
So good.
And, you know, throughout history, you'll look at, you know, other cultures and with their false gods.
Mm.
Even a lot of them, they don't wrap up all of these attributes into one God.
Mm-mm.
It's like, oh, there's the God of war.
Right.
There's
right.
the goddess of love.
Right.
There's that. It's very fractured.
Yeah.
But we serve a God who is a whole.
Mm.
But because of our sin, we can't comprehend how all of these attributes at times can coexist.
Yeah.
Because we understand vengeance from our earthly point of view. As Pastor Jack said, like, I go and I take revenge.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting too, because we tend to, even when we have, this is really interesting what you're bringing up here, because let's talk for a moment about these mythological gods, the small g's, and when they're created from the perspective of humanity. Mm-hmm. So we apply to their deity,
a god that we can understand. In our now fractured image.
Yes. So we create vengeance that looks like humanity's vengeance.
Yes.
So to actually, this is so cool. Even when Jennifer and I were sitting with those folks who made a decision for Jesus, that was so cool. Just to see what the Lord has placed on her heart and how she's after these folks. And, you know, we took them to this room.
Okay.
And as she is communicating, she's using the mythological Zeus as like, this is the
image. Wow.
This is the image that most of us have as God. Like, he's right there with a lightning bolt in his hand and he's ready
to
fire
you.
It down. Yeah. And that's because we don't understand. But this is where I think the Psalms are very helpful in a sense that they get us into understanding that relational piece of God, who is himself relational and also not afraid of our fractured emotions.
Right.
He wants to bring wholeness to them. So you talk about how David might be really going down that path with the emotional stuff, and then the Lord just kind of turns him around. He has an experience with the Lord, so it's cool.
So let's jump in.
All right.
So we have verse 46.
Yes, sir.
The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation.
Yeah.
Actually, let's just read through the whole thing.
Go ahead.
Right to the end. The God who executes vengeance for me and subdues peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely you lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man.
Mm.
Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name.
Yeah.
He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever.
So good. I'm just literally writing some things down here as you're speaking.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good.
So we have the Lord lives, and blessed be the rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation.
Mm.
So with that concept of exalted, it's the to bend. No, it's the
blessed.
Blessed. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Blessed is to there's a bending in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that's super important for us to remember.
Yeah.
Is that there is we have been blessed because God gave us Jesus, and Jesus made himself low for us in a way that none of us will ever understand, and he did it for us on our behalf.
Mm.
You know, we're talking about how sin coming in and damaging our image of God, the image of God in us and all of humanity. We see this brokenness all around us.
Mm.
And Jesus bent himself and made himself nothing. Like, you'll read of that in Philippians. Yeah. And he comes down and he becomes obedient to the Father. to the point of death. And he dies and he takes on all of our brokenness.
Yeah.
And we could stop there and that should be enough.
Yeah.
And I think about this, how often I, even as a Christian, even as a believer, I see my life and the blessing of God in my life through these secondary worldly blessings that God does for me or doesn't do for me, where I truly should be just valuing the gift of Jesus and the fact that heaven is my home and that I am secure in him.
Yeah.
And from that place, I now live a life of me going out and blessing others.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I have all that I need.
Yeah. Yeah, this is so good. I don't know why. I've been sitting here thinking as you're talking, like, man, do I even bring this up? But the moment that Pastor Zach was reading this passage, my mind went to this word that I've heard before, and the Spirit was bringing it back to me. It's Barak. And all I kept thinking about was, you know, our former president several years back now, Barack Obama. And I'm like, wow, man, there's something. I still don't understand what the Lord was trying to communicate to me with my mind hearkening back there. But this place of taking the knee and then understanding, like kneeling, bowing in adoration to God. And then, like you said, actually, because you know you're in a position of blessing, having authority to bless others and bring that praise to God and bless others. So again, I'm not sure if there's any correlation there, but I don't know why. Maybe the Lord was just reminding me that that's what his name meant, was to kneel, to take the knee, to bend, to bow. But then how it comes with the implication to us, I love what you're saying, which is I don't need to look at the external or the circumstantial
things
to understand that I'm blessed. Like I have been given so much.
Right. Well, because there's even as we go through and we understand and we look at words like deliverance and all of that stuff, because that's more experiential. There's in the everyday.
Yeah.
It's we have to understand both the already and the not yet.
Yeah. That's great.
Right.
Yep.
So in Christ, I have been completely blessed.
Yes.
In my spiritual man, I am completely blessed.
Yep.
I am sealed. I am secured. I have everything that I need for life and godliness.
Yes.
In my spiritual man.
Yes.
In my humanity, I still have a body that's corrupted with sin and death.
Yeah.
I get sick. I still have emotions. I still have things that have not yet come under the full authority of Christ.
Yes.
But I shouldn't live from that place. And I think even in walking out deliverance, in walking out these things, I think a lot of people, we live from our brokenness.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that's not how this works.
No.
You have to live from the understanding that you are completely blessed, that in Jesus, your sins have been made whole and you are forgiven. You are secure. You are, as I love to say, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Yeah.
And it's from that place that now you live.
Well, you're totally right, Luke. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but we're picking up. I know we're picking up in verse 46, but it's a new stanza here, and it's kind of completing a thought from before and continuing and bringing us to the end here. And he's saying, "The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock." So the thing is, because the Lord lives, we are blessed.
Yes.
So if we want to see the deliverance, if we want to see the lifting of our head, if we want to see the salvation, it all starts from the place of understanding that blessing. So before we get into you're continuously delivered, you're continuously being saved, like you are already blessed.
Yes.
You're starting from the place of blessing. Blessed be the rock and the God of my salvation. Mm-hmm. Like praise be to his name. I'll take my knee every time and understand like, Lord, it doesn't matter what I'm facing right now positionally in the spirit. I'm with you.
Right.
You're with me.
And I know for me, when I live in that mindset, as I've learned to grow and live from that place, not choosing sin actually comes more naturally.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's like it's not so much a battle anymore because it's, why would I do that? I am blessed. I am a chosen son of God.
Yeah.
And he has a calling on my life and he's given me good works to walk into. Why would I do that?
Yeah. You saying that literally reminds me of Joseph in Potiphar's house. And he's like, how could I do such a thing to my God?
Yeah.
You know, for him, and you would think, dude, you've already been sold out by your brothers. Like, how are you even thinking this? And he's thinking, how could I violate God like that? And that really is that place. He understood who he was long before we ever had a cross. He understood his Savior. So you're right. We start here with this place of blessing, and then we move into verse 47, that he subdues the nations under me. I think that this was something that really spoke to me about the speaking and the order, bringing things into order. And Pastor Zach, I mean, he's been on this for quite a while now, several years, about, okay, it's not just the nations, but it's actually really anything that needs to be brought in order around me and subdues it under my feet. So I thought this was great to just spend some time on. If we listen in order, you know, then we can live in order. If we listen and allow that order to take place, we end up living in that place of order.
Right. And what's the key being in this verse is God.
Yes.
God's the one who's doing all of this.
Yeah.
I know for myself, when I try to take revenge or when I try to bring order into my own life from my own knowledge or my own willpower, things don't always go so well.
Mm-hmm.
And this verse tells us that it's God who is the one who is to exact vengeance for us out of his love for us.
Right.
And he is the perfect God, and he will establish the order.
Yeah. You know, that's why he says, vengeance is mine.
Yeah.
It belongs to him, because he actually understands. We, again, we'll apply that sense of humanity. I often think about this. We, you know, some of us are justice people, and we're like, oh, we have to take justice, and it's got to be this, and it's got to be that. We're still looking at it from a fractured perspective.
Right.
We're not looking at the whole picture.
Right.
This is why forgiveness is so powerful, and no matter who has offended us or done anything to harm us, even the worst sins that have been done against us, we are still told by the Lord that we have to forgive and release. And we say, why? I'm justified. Yeah, okay. But God was justified in destroying the whole earth, right. And yet he didn't. Mm. He didn't. That's why vengeance belongs to him, because we're constantly looking. We're either looking across the room, eye to eye to somebody, or we're looking up to somebody. But God is always seated in heaven, looking down on all of us equally. And we're on the same plane, and he understands all of it. And so there is this sense of like, okay, God, I have to release the care of vengeance to you. I have to not make this a matter of what I would equate as justice.
Yeah.
Because it, no matter how holy and righteous I am,
right,
there's going to be some part of me in that justice that I'm trying to get.
Yep. And as I've grown in the Lord, there's times where I can start to feel like myself coming into a situation, and it's like, okay, you were good.
Yeah.
Three sentences ago.
Yeah.
And now you need to be quiet.
Yeah.
Like, this is no longer
this is not you. Yes.
Of your spiritual man coming through. But it's cool, you know, Paul, I think it's Paul that says, like, you will judge angels.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like when we get to heaven, I think we will understand.
We will.
We will understand what righteous vengeance is.
Well, this is why Jesus was quiet on earth. He had been given authority for all judgment, and yet he stood quiet on the earth. The only judgment he pronounced, he said, listen, all authority has been given to me. My Father, who could have judged everything, gave me the ability to judge everything and everyone. And yet, as he stood before Pilate, he was completely silent. Mm-hmm. And the only thing he spoke on is like, you yourself have said it. Or when they challenged him in that room with all of the council, you know, you yourself have said it, and you will see the Son of Man coming back. And so there's this place of like, wait a minute, we may not fully understand now. And there is a reason for us to be silent and allow the Lord to exact that vengeance in his appropriate time. But it will.
Oh, that's really cool.
It will happen.
I'd never really gotten that from Jesus acting that way. And that's really, really cool. Really cool.
Well, we think about, I've been meditating recently a lot on his return, and he will, before everything is done away with and made new, he will reign for 1,000 years. He will reign for 1,000 years on this earth, and the King of all kings will be present. And what's really crazy is that even then, there'll still be people who don't believe. And you know they don't, because once Satan is released after that 1,000 years, they still go with him. So I think the Lord has this way of being very patient in his vengeance. And because we're in a new covenant reality, it's not going to look like it did with Joshua and with David, where he's destroying these nations and going after them, because he's walking in a lot of patience and grace right now so that the world might be saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think to understand that a little bit, it's again, going back to us being made in the image of God, and God is a creative God and he has agency and he can create. And that's probably one of the primary features of us being made in the image of God, is we have free will. We have this agency. We have this ability to create, to choose and to fashion. And so you see, and you see how even in that 1,000-year reign, people won't choose, because that image of God is still in them for that ability to choose or not to choose.
Yeah.
And it's incomprehensible to those of us who have chosen Christ.
Right. Right.
You know,
that's really good. I know we're kind of getting off on the past, but this is all, it's all
good. Fleshing it out.
I know. So it delivers. He delivers us. So we get things, you know, God is the one who brings vengeance, so we trust him. And when we trust him, he puts things into order.
Yeah.
Right? So now he's speaking to that challenge and bringing it into order. And now we're moving into verse 48, where he's constantly, continuously delivering us from our enemies.
Amen.
Which, when we think about it, especially as you and I are speaking here, you know, this is where we have to come into reality that our enemy is not flesh and blood. This is what this is what Paul communicates. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are standing against principalities. Right. And this is to bring it all into a picture here, Ephesians 6, that we're not wrestling, we're doing the standing, because it's God who does the delivering.
Yes.
And he's not delivering us from these. It's not the people. It's actually the principalities, the powers, and the rulers of darkness.
Yes, yes, amen. And again, this is why you have to live from, I talk about it in my worldview classes, we live in a spiritual reality.
Yes.
Even though you live in a physical world with physical things around you, it's really a spiritual reality.
Yes.
And you have to live from that place. So, and it starts first by understanding your position spiritually.
Yes.
And then from that place, you work it out. But understanding that everything you're doing has spiritual ramifications.
Yeah. Again, going right back to where we picked up in the stanza, verse 46, that God is the rock of our salvation. He is the rock. So positionally, we're there. Mm-hmm. So all these other things we can trust him for.
Yeah.
Here's the part that really spoke to me, is you lift me up. And and David says this too in Psalm 3. You are the lifter of my head, but he delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. Now this goes right back to the vengeance piece. I love this. I wrote this down. It might be a direct quote. It may not. But when we lift ourselves up, we are protected in our pride. But when the Lord lifts us up, he protects us for his purpose and for our purpose. So if we're defending ourselves, and again, you can see this with Moses constantly. Moses did not have it easy. He was taking a people out of a place of bondage to a land that was promised to them, but they were dragging their heels the whole time. And they were blaming Moses. They were blaming Moses. You took us out and you did this. And Moses is the go-between, just trying to say, God, don't smite these people. And people, don't you understand that God is for you? And yet they continue to complain against him. And Moses refused to defend himself. And so this place of being lifted up above those who are persecuting us is, again, coming back to that picture of Jesus standing before Pilate. You don't need to defend yourself. You just need to speak the truth. Jesus didn't just take it all on the chin. He spoke the truth. And so a lot of times, like you said, we get into trouble because we start speaking the truth, but we get off because where words are many, sin is not absent.
Yes.
We make it about ourselves and we've moved from that place. And now we're protecting our pride.
Exactly.
When really the Lord wants to protect our purpose.
Right.
And if we just trust him, he's going to be the one that lifts us up.
Amen. Amen. You know, as I was listening to the message, this passage from 1 Peter 5 came to me, and I still want to share it. So in 1 Peter 5 verses 5 through 7, Peter says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Mm.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time.
Yes.
Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I think that's a really cool commentary on what's happening here in this verse as well.
Yeah, it's so true. This was a life passage for me for a good 10 years. You know, I think that that's really important for us to understand. Nobody gets out away with it there. Like
right.
Young people, you're submitting to elders. Yeah. All of us, we're submitted to one another and we're clothed in humility because God will resist the proud, but he'll give grace to the humble.
Right. And, you know, and God's, it says here that you'll be, that God exalts us.
He will.
From a place of humility yes. at the proper time.
That's exactly right.
Because we get things wrong. And I know for me, the proper time is always now.
Yeah.
In my flesh, the proper time
right
is now. It was yesterday.
Yes.
This has to happen immediately.
Yes.
We need to get this done.
Yes.
And that's where our flesh comes in and we start to exact vengeance or even
defense.
Bring it, going back to the order piece. It's like I'm putting pieces into order now.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes it's not that you see it in a wrong way. It's just that that wasn't the time.
Yeah.
And you have to allow the Lord to lead you in that.
Mm. You know, we're so – Jennifer and I were talking about this yesterday in the car. We rush so much. Mm-hmm. And we live literally at the edge of our nerves all the time.
Yeah, that's what society teaches us.
Yeah, and in different parts of our nation, and really in different parts of our world, it isn't that way.
No,
and what happens is we are placing such an abundance of pressure and expectation on us to produce something that God, who stands outside of time, has it all under control. But really what it comes down to, Luke, this whole study today and this whole passage and teaching on Sunday really comes down to one word, and it's do we trust the Lord? Do we trust him? Do we trust his time? Do we trust that we really are in that blessed position? Do we trust his deliverance? Do we trust him subduing the nations under our feet? Do we trust him exacting revenge, vengeance? Do we trust that he'll lift up our head and lift us above those who are coming against us? Do we trust his salvation?
Yeah.
Because if we do, then we'll walk it out in time.
And then we come to verse 49, and this is the first in this little chunk of verses. This is the first thing where David says that he does something.
I know.
He says, therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of your message from the following week.
Oh, yeah.
From the previous week is we go out in praise.
Yes.
And that's where we have to live.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, if praise should be the first thing out of my lips.
Yep.
Praise for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Looking to him continuously.
It's so interesting because I'm not sure that I tied everything up in a big bow that Sunday, but I just had this prophetic word that I had to communicate. But it's literally, we go out in praise and we come in praise. Mm. It begins with praise and it ends with praise.
Mm.
And David is here nearing the end of this psalm. And you begin with exalting and praising the Lord. You understand the struggle and the humanity through it all, but you come back to end in praise. And so that camp, as they were moving out or moving to a new location, they would go out to that new location in praise, but praise would be the very first thing that takes place when they get into the camp.
Amen. You know, and maybe you're listening to this and you're new to church and you're like, how come they do so much singing all the time?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not a church event unless there's a song and a prayer, and you know, it's because of this.
Yeah.
It's because of this. And you know, going back to what Psalms were, the Psalms are all sung.
Yeah.
So this whole passage that we've been talking through, it's not read. It's not it's not like a manuscript, like in the New Testament, where it's like, oh, you're reading a letter.
Yeah.
This is a song.
I know. It's so good.
You know, and God values music so much that he divinely orchestrated a book.
So good.
In the Bible, that was all music.
Yeah.
And it's that book where we see the relationship.
Mm.
So your relationship with God is a divine song.
That's
it
awesome.
Is a divine dance.
That's so good. I love that. That's all. You're really putting some things into perspective for me as well, as I think about, wow, this is the beauty of, we hear so much about our our adversary, the devil, and right. his, you know, his creation, his being like this orchestral instrument, and how that has been so twisted and perverted. Right. But God right. is the masterful creator exactly. of music
yeah.
who has really woven it beautifully into all of his creation.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and that's, and I think that even the fact that Satan was like the worship leader in heaven.
Yeah.
That says something about the power of music.
Mm.
And you look at the world mm-hmm. and Satan spends a whole lot of time yeah. injecting filth into music.
Yeah.
That is, because music is extremely powerful.
It's extremely powerful. So we kind of end cap with David communicating. I mean, I know that Pastor Zach was joking about the Blue Letter Bible and fact-checking him, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. But I was like, that's what I'm doing on a Sunday. I'm going back yeah. to see what the words mean. Yeah. And it's not about fact-checking. It's like, whoa, something's hitting mm-hmm. me. I gotta solidify this. And to see that this last passage about salvation is that that's name good. Yeshua is so powerful. It's so good to see. Wow, there you are, Lord. You are painting the picture of your salvation long before Messiah comes to actually mm-hmm. stand on the earth. Obviously, yeah. he was always the right. Son of God, right?
Right.
But this...
And that's the thing is, you know, that line, he gives great deliverance to his king. My earthly mind
yeah.
pictures, oh, he gets delivered from a battle
yep.
or a
yep.
situation. And that's so wrong.
I know.
It minimizes, you know, when you look at that word Yeshua and you're like, that's Jesus.
Yes.
It's Jesus. That is the great deliverance.
Yes.
It's not your situation.
I
it's
know.
Not getting out of that. Though God in his love does that too.
He does.
But don't get this backwards.
Yes. That's what makes it so powerful. And again, the week before, like that's, I think the part that was hitting me the most is like, wait a minute. It is not about all these no. peripheral circumstantial things. It is about the one thing. It's about the Lord, him getting what he desires, which is us. He wants us close to him. So he mm-hmm. brings Yeshua. He brings that salvation. He brings that deliverance.
Amen.
It's so Ugh, good.
So good. Well, thank you for joining us today. This has been a really powerful time.
Thanks for having me. It's been great to be back yeah. again with you.
So we'll look forward to hearing from you next month.
Yeah, man. I'm glad. Thanks for having me. I always love it here.
Just bless us and we'll go out and we'll finish out the rest of this week.
Well, Father, we thank you so much for our time. I thank you for the breakdown. I just think about how you put this on Luke's heart a few years ago now, Lord, to have an opportunity for us to spend some time dialoguing through the message. As iron sharpens iron, we sharpen each other studying your word. We are learning more about you. And we thank you for how you will take something so beautiful, so powerful, like this Sunday message, and actually make it real and bring some practical application to our lives. We think through and just open up to you right now the areas where maybe we're not praising and blessing you. Maybe we're not bowing our knee. Maybe we're not taking that place of humility and allowing you to exalt us. But we, in fact, are taking the vengeance and we're trying to defend yes. ourselves. Lord, you are our defense. You are the lifter of our head. You are our salvation. You deliver us. And so we pray that as we throw our hands up and wave the white flag of surrender to you, that you would bring everything in your perfect timing, because as your word says, as we already heard from 1 Peter, that you will exalt us in due time. So we thank you for this and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We'll go out there, family, and live from your place of spiritual blessing, and we will see you on Sunday. Can't count on